Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for November 9th, 2007. This week, plants turn up the heat down under. Also, researchers study sleep-deprived fish. But first, Suzanne Bard has another sleep story, this one based on a question sent to us from you, our esteemed listeners.
Esteemed and distant, Bob. Listener Parsa Haiderpour wrote to us all the way from Iran. She wants to know why dolphins don't drown while they sleep. For the answer, we turn to comparative anatomist Joy Reidenberg of Mount Sinai School of Medicine.
Dolphins don't drown when they're sleeping because they are never really fully asleep.
She explains that dolphins have been observed sleeping with one eye open and one eye closed, suggesting that part of the brain remains conscious during sleep.
The animals are probably sleeping with half of their brain at a time. So when they're sleeping, they're not really fully asleep the way we would be fully asleep and lose all conscious control over breathing. But in fact, they are only sleeping with half of a brain. The other half of the brain is therefore maintaining their ability to breathe.
We also spoke to Frank Fish, a marine biologist at Westchester University. Unlike humans who breathe automatically, dolphins have to make a conscious effort to breathe.
One half of their brain is always active and alert, and the animal can come to the surface and breathe and constantly keep the animal moving while the other side is resting.
If you have a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Indeed. Thanks, Suzanne. Well, maybe dolphins only sleep with half their brain at a time, but at least they can get a little shut-eye. After all, they have eyelids. But fish, lacking eyelids, never get any shut-eye. But they do apparently sleep. This according to researchers at Stanford University, who kept small tropical zebrafish awake for days. When the fish were then put in a dark, quiet tank, they immediately became immobile and stayed that way for longer than normal, catching up on lost sleep just like a sleep-deprived person would. Brain studies of the fish revealed not only that they experience sleep, but that the areas of the fish's brains associated with sleep and the chemicals that regulate them are similar to those in humans. The researchers now hope to use zebrafish to study sleep disorders like insomnia and narcolepsy. In other animal behavior news, scientists are studying several types of tropical birds that follow swarms of army ants through the forest and feast on the insects that flee from the ants in terror. By studying the bird's genetics, the researchers have found that at least one species has been foraging in tandem with the army ants for 6 million years and may be incapable of finding food without them. Next, our New York-based correspondent Justin Warner reveals the dark side of so-called healthy restaurant chains.
Several major restaurant and fast food chains now advertise their menus as being healthier than the competition, but these claims may actually fool you into overeating there. So says Brian Wansink, director of Cornell University's Food and Brand Lab and author of the book Mindless Eating: Why We Eat More Than We Think. In a series of experiments, his team studied how consumers eat in restaurants perceived as either relatively healthy or out-and-out splurges.
One thing we find is that most people eating at a healthy restaurant would be more accurate if they doubled their best estimate of how many calories they had eaten.
In contrast, people eating in decadent restaurants guessed much closer to their meal's actual calorie content. And while the healthy restaurant entrees often did have fewer calories, Wansink found that people often make up the difference with fattening side dishes or extra snacks later that day.
This can explain the discouragement a lot of people have when they start a new diet and things just don't work. Because here they're sacrificing. They're foregoing something indulgent that they really like, but they're not seeing any payback for it.
He says knowing the pitfalls of these theoretically healthy dining alternatives could save a lot of dieters serious disappointment. More information and eating tips are on his website at mindlesseating.org.
Mindless eating. Thanks, Justin. Here's a story that may give some hope to people suffering from hearing and balance disorders. Neuroscientists Jeffrey Corwin and Zhenqing Hu at the University of Virginia School of Medicine have grown and multiplied hair cells in the lab. In case you're wondering, hair cells aren't really made of hair. They're thin, spindly cells in the inner ear that are critical for both hearing and balance. And Corwin says they've never been grown in the lab till now.
Up until this point in time, every researcher who worked on hair cells had to obtain those cells by very laborious and difficult microdissection of cells from the internal ear.
In the future, they'll be able to just thaw out a test tube and grow whatever they need. Corwin and Hu's cell lines actually come from embryonic chickens, and that's of interest to medicine because, unlike people, birds can regenerate lost hair cells. Understanding how they do that could lead to new treatments for human disorders. Next, for mature listeners only, Suzanne has a feverish story about plant sex. And I've loosened my tie.
You don't even wear a tie, Bob.
Yeah, well.
But it's true, when some plants reproduce, things can get pretty steamy. During the Australian springtime, male cycad plants emit a pleasant odor. This attracts tiny insects called thrips into their cones to eat pollen. But then the cones start to heat up, sometimes by as much as 25 degrees. Biologist Irene Terry of the University of Utah studies the reproductive habits of the ancient plant.
When the cones heat up, they also emit a large amount of a chemical, and this chemical or odor gets very, very strong during the heating process.
So strong, in fact, that it becomes toxic, driving the insects from the male cycad by the thousands. Nearby, the female cycad emits the same chemical, but at a lower, more pleasant concentration. This in turn attracts the pollen-covered insects to the female, resulting in pollination, and if all goes well, little cycads.
Thanks, Suzanne. I never realized plants led such an exciting life. That's all for this week. Next week, we'll tell you about a problem that's tying scientists in knots, and why India gets the prize for being the world's fastest landmass. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a steamy new science story every single weekday, Monday through Friday, to arouse your intellect and stimulate your synapses. You can find it at our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.